I'm Bruce Argyle. You've joined us for our regular Thursday morning Community Conversations program. Thank you for your company. If you're a first-time listener, welcome to the program. We have a very special program today in view of Anzac Day on Monday. And we look forward to commemorating Anzac Day here on Monday and, well, across the valley in so many different places. There's lots of details either in your local paper or you can just Google it, I'm sure. But there are services, commemoration services, dawn services in Healesville, in Kalorama, Lilydale, Millgrove, Monbulk, Montrose, Muralbark, Mount Evelyn, Seville, Upper Yarra, Upway, Belgrave, Wandon, Warburton and Yarra Glen. And I'm sure I've missed some as well. So there's either a dawn service or a service of some kind on Monday in all those locations around the valley and, of course, many other places across Victoria, across Australia and across New Zealand. A very special day in our annual calendar. My very special guest is Bob Gannaway this morning. Bob's just walked in. Hello, Bob. How are you going today?
Good morning, Bruce. How are you? Hello, everyone.
Wonderful to have you back, Bob. We had the pleasure of having you during lockdown on our program last year, this time last year. And I'm proud to say, Bob, you may not even be aware of this, but the podcast that we made of that program was just about the most downloaded podcast of the whole year that we had. So there's certainly plenty of interest in Anzac Day out there, which is wonderful, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It hasn't lost its importance in our calendar. But let's go back for listeners who may not be as familiar with the origins of Anzac Day. Of course, we go right back to Gallipoli, the campaign in 1914, 1915 in Gallipoli and the First World War, 1914 to 1918. And, of course, this is all happening at the Anzac Day this year against a backdrop of the terrible fighting that's happening in Ukraine and Russia at the moment. Bob, take us back to, 104 years ago. That first campaign was a major one, wasn't it, for the Australians and the New Zealanders?
It was the baptism of fire in many ways for the ANZACs, Australian New Zealand Army Corps, as they were called. They had the first time they participated together, and they stormed ashore at a place now called Anzac Co. in Turkey, in Gallipoli, which was part of Turkey at that time. Still is, for that matter.
Yes.
And yes, but unfortunately, like all these campaigns, and things go a bit wrong, and they actually landed in the wrong place.
Yes.
So they were faced with these cliffs that ahead of them. So something similar happened on D-Day in 1944, but it was very challenging for them, and they had all these tricky little passes to get through to reach up to the Turks at the top, and it didn't help their cause much at all, unfortunately. But they persevered with it, but it was in the finish they had to withdraw. Mm. There was no way they were going to be able to storm those cliffs.
Mm. Incredible tales of heroism and mateship and comradeship, and there's been lots of books written about this campaign, Bob. I've got a couple in my hand. The most recent one, Gallipoli by Les Carline, just an amazing story of, so many things that happened there.
I haven't got to that one yet. I'm still trying to get through his book, World War. World War I. It is incredible. His detail is amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah. It is absolutely amazing. Yes. So roll forward then. The establishment of Anzac Day, Bob, then followed soon after the end of the war, didn't it? The First World War.
I think there was a bit of a move even before the war completely finished, but it really kicked off in the 20s.
Yes.
And became our National Day of Remembrance, in a way. Of course, Remembrance Day was the day before that. It was traditionally the British Day of Remembrance, and which we observe here as well, of
course. Yes.
But Anzac Day has taken on almost a national day significance, and that's the one where the crowds gather. And, of course, it's a public holiday, which means people are free to gather.
Yes.
Whereas Remembrance Day isn't. So yes. That makes a big difference.
Certainly does. We're going to talk all things Anzac Day and just what does it mean for the average Australian, the average New Zealander today, and how do we remember, and what does what's important over 100 years on?
Lest we forget.
And we have a special program this morning focusing on Anzac Day. And my very special guest here in the studio is Bob Gannaway. It is great to have you actually in the studio, Bob, after the last couple of years we haven't been able to meet. Bob is the, he's just telling me he is now the Commemorations Secretary for the RSL and has been an active member in the RSL here in Healesville for, I hate to think how many years, Bob, but a long time. Also been a community bank director in Healesville, been heavily involved in the Air Wing and the Rats of Tobruk and a whole lot of other things beside. And Bob, just going back on the history of Anzac Day, of course, as you said, it sort of took off early 20s in close association with the RSL, of course. So what was the original alignment? I'm sorry, I'm asking you questions about things that were way before you were born, but what did that original alignment of the RSL and Anzac Day look like, as far as you know?
Well, as far as I know, Anzac Day was actually started to commemorate it towards the end of World War One, but it really took off in the 1920s when the Return and Services League, or Return Service, Return Sailors, Soldiers and Airmen's League of Australia, they were then. I beg your pardon, that's not right. They didn't have airmen separately then. So it's undergone a few name changes over the years.
Sure.
But the return men, virtually, they took charge of it and they created Anzac Day. As the commemoration of World War One, the English, of course, have got Remembrance Day on November the 11th, and we observed that as well.
Yes.
Because back in those days, we were, mentally at least, Australia was still seen as part of the British Empire, even though we're an independent country.
Yes.
And that thinking followed right through into the 1930s and 40s. But
I was reading, Bob, the An Anzac Story by Roy Kyle, which is introduced by Bryce Courtney, and there's a paragraph here that says that it was a battle for the legend of Gallipoli was born. It was the very first blooding of the nation that took place where our young men left the battlefield defeated in what had become a stalemate, but without surrendering to the enemy, so that their honour and pride was said to have remained intact, and they lived to fight another day. The same was said of the New Zealanders who fought with fierce resolve and equal passion and distinction at Gallipoli. It's surprising that after the horror and hardship of Gallipoli, a general disillusion with war wasn't present, and the men who left the trenches still believed in the righteousness of the war. And so, you know, Anzac Day was born out of that. And over 100 years on, Bob, we it's still such an important part of our calendar, isn't it?
Oh, very much so.
Yes.
We celebrate Australia Day, of course, but a lot of people consider Anzac Day a more important one.
Yes.
In that it was the first time that we come really truly come together as a nation, even though we're fighting under the British flag.
Yes. Well. Yes.
And we continue to do that right into the 30s and 40s. But it was a sense that Australia had come of age.
Yes.
Back then, and it certainly cemented that identity. Within the community.
Yes. And of course, rolling forward, sadly, Bob, you know, World War II, 1939 to 1945, and then, you know, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, too many wars, but all those, you know, subsequent wars have been included into Anzac Day, haven't they?
Oh, very much so. In fact, during the Vietnam War, there was an Anzac contingent, Australian and New Zealand troops fighting together. And that was, a lot of people were not aware of that, but there were Anzacs in the Vietnam War. So it has continued right through. It's the sentiment that's continued right through, and the sense of comradeship, post-service.
Yes,
very strong.
I want to talk to you more about that mateship in a moment. What has happened, you know, the last couple of years, obviously with COVID, we haven't been able to, you know, gather, you know, to commemorate. I know 2 years ago I remember standing on my street with a candle, you know, in many streets, you know, in local communities. That was how we commemorated. And I remember looking up and down the street and there was, you know, people with candles just for a moment of silence, and I could hear the last post in the distance. That was very special too.
It might have been mine. I had a squawk box out the front and played the last post and so on, so...
Yes,
and we held a moment's silence, and that was pretty well it.
So this will be the first time in, well, effectively 3 Anzac Days. I wonder. I mean, do you have any sense of what impact COVID has had on on the likes of Anzac Day, Bob? I mean, that's a very hard question, isn't it?
My sense is that people are relieved that it's pretty well over, fingers crossed, and with the restrictions coming off tomorrow that are still in place, we like to see a very big crowd on Monday.
Yes.
This will be the first one that I've missed in Healesville.
Yes.
The last 10 years I've been the MC and involved in the planning. I've been involved in the planning to a certain degree this year as well, but I won't be here for my wife and I going away for the weekend. We have a family function on Sunday on the other side of town, so we've taken the opportunity to have a break. But I'm also looking forward to participating, or not participating, but seeing how it's done at another township.
Yes.
We'll be in Riddles Creek on Anzac Day to see their service, their morning service.
That's fantastic.
Looking forward to that.
And for listeners, Bob's referring to the dawn service in Healesville at the Healesville RSL, and it's commencing at 5:45,
We suggest that people get there by 5:30.
5:30, okay. Yeah, that's good, Bob. So
makes it easier to sort things out.
And that's going to be followed by a traditional gunfire breakfast with a gold coin donation, and then, of course, at 9:30, there's a march assembly, so there will be an assembly for a march at Church Street in Healesville, and then the march at 10 o'clock to the Memo Hall, and services will be held there, Bob. Yeah, so that's the morning, and then, of course, people are also invited back to the RSL for refreshments after that. So,
and just as a side note to that, we have organised for a fly past during the service.
Ah, right.
Hopefully towards the end of the march, or just as the marches are assembling in front of the Memo Hall, of a pair of tiger moths.
Wow.
Weather permitting. I mean, it's only got to be a bit windy, and they're not really, you know, they're very old aircraft. A lot of people think they're World War One because they're biplanes, but they're not. They're 1930s, 40s. And they were the basic trainer back in World War Two.
Wow.
So we're hoping they'll be able to get up and give the crowd a bit of a buzz.
Fantastic. You're listening to Bob Gannaway. We're talking Anzac Day this coming Monday, of course.
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.com.au.
And you are with Bruce Argyle on Community Conversations on Thursday morning. And, lots going on around the valley at the moment, of course. And starting on the 28th of April, the Basin Theatre, that's next week, has an amazing production entitled It's Now or Never. And it's a riotous comedy by Miles Trednick. There's 10 performances in the Basin Theatre just up the road. The storyline has some people in Spain citing Elvis, and it goes from there. And it's a hilarious show. So go onto the Basin Theatre website if you haven't heard about it, and have a look at the It's Now or Never production coming up. Absolutely fantastic. But right now we're talking Anzac Day, and there are lots of commemorations coming up on Monday. And Bob and I were just talking about, the key role that the RSL play in these commemorations. And Bob, that's always been the way, hasn't it? The RSL has led the way with Anzac Day.
Yes, there is an Anzac Day commemorative committee, which you can find online, and they have some interesting information in there for anybody who wants to dig a little bit deeper.
Okay.
And just check out Anzac Day in general. It's well worth having a look. And they also have songs and what have you in there, and copies of the last post on it you can download. So it's quite good.
Excellent. Bob, the other symbols of Anzac Day that we commonly think of are the poppy, the red poppy.
Red poppy's more Remembrance Day.
Okay.
I do see people wearing poppies on Anzac Day a bit now, but we try to differentiate between the two. But people do come along when we're selling Anzac badges, they come along and ask for a poppy.
Yes.
So there's
a bit of overlap.
Crossover's starting to happen there.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We've got no problem with that. But the Anzac badges, of course, are the fundraiser for the RSL as well. And it's one that's virtually their primary fundraiser in terms of the traditional sub-branches.
Yes.
And Brian Luscombe, our past president, has been very consistent down at the Walk shopping centre. Well, he can't be there today. He's taken the RSL bus down for a service.
Okay.
He's into it all, Brian. He never stops.
And I was just watching yesterday, Bob, that the organisation, the not-for-profit organisation Legacy, celebrates 100 years next year as well, and have done an amazing job in supporting survivors of people who have lost loved ones during battles and so on. And they've got a big torch march, a torch procession that they're going to do around the world over the next 12 months leading up to that 100 years, Bob.
Yeah, Legacy Week, is we've always supported Legacy Week where we can. We had a couple of our former members of our Women's Auxiliary, Ladies Auxiliary, or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
They were very keen on taking care of that and selling Legacy badges. Unfortunately, they're no longer with us. So it's sort of fallen in a hole a bit, but we want to try and do a bit more than that. We don't have a Legacy branch in Healesville. No, the closest one's, I think, Lilydale.
Okay.
We need to re-establish that connection a bit, I think.
Yep.
And make sure that Legacy Week doesn't go unnoticed in Healesville.
Mm. Let's go back to the meaning, the essence of Anzac Day, Bob. We've already talked about mateship, comradeship, loyalty. What are the words that are at the very heart of that? And what does mateship mean, Bob? And how did it become such an integral part of the Anzac story?
I think it comes down to battlefield. You had to rely on the people around you. Supporting you, otherwise you were in deep trouble, looking after the wounded and what have you. But it was the friendships that were cemented as part of those units. I remember my father was part of the Rats of Tobruk. He was the 2nd 32nd Division during World War II, served at Tobruk and El Alamein, and later in New Guinea with the same two guys.
Yes.
Unfortunately, one of those was killed in New Guinea. But his name is Bob as well, and it was Ron Gilmore and Bert Ferguson. And when we came along after the war, my father had three sons, and we're Bob, Ron and Bert.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Ron and Bert are no longer with us either. I'm the sole survivor there, but with three sisters to worry about now.
Yes.
Why they worry me more than anything else.
Luckily, we're not on air. That they can't hear a podcast of this or something, Bob. But to go so that mateship, that sort of looking out for your mate, well, it became such an integral part of Anzac Day, didn't it?
Yeah, very much so. And that's the core of it, really.
Yeah.
And it's looking after your mates.
Yes, and remembering those mates that are no longer.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And of course, those that have passed since. And it makes it harder for the older ones, because as they go on, they become more solitude.
Yes.
In a sense. And that's where the organisations like the RSL, the Rats of Tobruk and other Vietnam Vets, Veterans Association, they're there to support those guys. If their close friends have gone, they're still that organisation to help them out when they need be.
Yes.
We've got a very active welfare officer in our sub-branch now.
Okay.
New welfare officer who's not long out of the service, as a matter of fact, and he's right into it, and he's revamping and refurbishing, reorganising our welfare side of things and becoming much more active, and I'm very happy to see him on board.
Mm. Listeners, you may not be aware that the RSL is a not-for-profit organisation, and undoubtedly you're aware that it relies about 99% on volunteer work, doesn't it, Bob?
Very much so. Very much so. Sub-branches like Healesville, where we have the business side of the activity, but most of the sub-branches are the traditional type sub-branches that you only open up certain times, maybe
yes.
For a couple of hours on Friday and maybe on Sunday lunch or something like that. They're the traditional sub-branches, and they rely very much on each other.
Mm.
We've got... these 165 service members in the last count.
Okay.
Which is good.
We've that's quite a few for Healesville.
A lot more affiliates and a lot more in social as well. But it's the service and affiliate members that are those that are eligible for committee and to vote on issues. They're the core of the RSL.
Yep.
Because the affiliates more so now, because we have fewer veterans.
Yes.
We're just starting to see people like the chap I mentioned before, Mark, coming in from Afghanistan and the later conflicts, really just starting to see that happen now.
Right.
I'm really pleased to see that.
Yes,
yes. There's other sub-branches have already established themselves with the later vets, but it's interesting, there's always a bit of rivalry between the different age groups, the different wars.
Yeah.
I remember when I first joined the RSL, I worked night shift back then, and I used to catch up with the old diggers, the World War II guys, in the afternoon, and the stories they used to tell about how they were treated by the World War I guys when they came back. So they were comments like, "You weren't in a war, you weren't in the trenches," and that sort of mentality tends to go on a bit.
We shouldn't be laughing about it, but yeah.
And the Vietnam vet guys, because the Vietnam guys, they got heaps when they got home, and it was very difficult. The RSL was... RSL organisation at the time treated them very poorly.
Yes, that was another whole... We could have another whole program about that, Bob.
That was resolved, fortunately, because as time goes on, of course, the other generation came through, and the current RSL is run by Vietnam veterans.
Yes.
And that's now slowly Afghanistan and later conflicts now. Veterans of those are now starting to move up the ranks, and we're going to see that change happen over the next few years.
Mm. You're listening to Bob Gannaway, and we're talking Anzac Day, and we're going to come back. And Bob, I'm going to ask you about the Rats of Tobruk, because I'm always fascinated by that story, and a little bit more, and also what can people expect this Anzac Day, Monday the 25th? And we're talking Anzac Day at the moment. I've got a very special guest in the studio in the person of Bob Gannaway, who is a long-time RSLer, Commemorations Committee, currently the secretary of that, and heavily involved in the Healesville RSL. Bob, we're going to miss you at Healesville, but you're going to be over at Riddles Creek or Woodend or somewhere over there this year. But I know, as well as that, you've been a key stalwart in terms of the Rats of Tobruk, and there'll be listeners this morning that won't know what a Rat of Tobruk, what that refers to even. So you better just give us that story, Bob.
Well, it refers back to the siege of Tobruk, where Rommel's Axis forces laid siege to the town. It was primarily defended by Australian and Polish troops at the time. They were able to be supplied by sea, but they were cut off from the rest of the Allied forces. They held out for... Oh, I forget the number of days, but it was somewhere from about 8 months held off. And
this was Australians and New Zealanders mostly, Bob?
It was Australian and Polish, actually.
Okay, yes, mostly. Polish, yep.
9th Division Australian and other and so on. That they, my father was one of those. So, and Lord Haw-Haw, who was a British traitor, as he was hanged after the war, he was a radio operator for the Germans, and he christened them the... They were living in like rats in foxholes and tunnels and what have you. And the Aussie soldiers grabbed that, said thank you very much, and then they proudly called themselves the Rats of Tobruk. The Rats of Tobruk Association was formed after the war, or shortly before the end of the war, I think. And it's still going strong, based down in Albert Park in Victoria. There's Tobruk House down there.
Okay.
And they have their own Anzac Day functions as well after the march.
Yes.
After the big march in town. And I've been proud to be a member of that for a number of years. I don't always get down there very often, but not as much as I used to. But I did, for my few years, I ran their website for them. And now they've taken it over and updated it, which is great. So.
And members of that, Bob, have some connection with Tobruk.
Well, there are very few of the original rats left now. We're down to about a handful, if that.
Yes.
And they're dwindling down very quickly now. They're all in there, maybe 100 plus. So it makes it. But the descendants, what we call, they're called affiliates, and I'm one of those.
Yes.
They're keeping the name alive and keeping the tradition alive and maintaining Anzac House and, Tobruk House.
Yes, so yes.
They have their gathering down on Anzac Day, and they also have other special days during the year.
Fantastic.
Commemorating Tobruk.
Fantastic.
The Siege of Tobruk, which is good.
Yes. Oh, wow. It's a story perhaps not as often told.
No, it's one of those parts of the war, and a lot of those went on to serve at El Alamein, where they stopped the Germans. My father did that. He was wounded at El Alamein, as a matter of fact. And it was a very traumatic time, and that was before, of course, that was before the Japanese got into the Pacific. So we're all concentrated. At that time, Australia was concentrated in there.
Bob, there's unfortunate parallels between the Rats of Tobruk and the soldiers that are fighting in Mariupol in Ukraine at the moment.
Sieges.
But terrible war there in Ukraine right now. Unfortunately, as we approach Anzac Day this year.
Unfortunately, it's the war to end all wars in 1914 wasn't quite that.
No.
A long shot.
Bob, what, as far as you know, and obviously it's a little bit different at all the different locations, but what typically happens at an Anzac Day commemorative service in 2022? What can people expect?
Well, the normal routine is in some country towns, and most hold a march. Not all. Some aren't equipped to do that. Some are too small. But the usual, there's usually a service at some stage during the morning. Some have a dawn service only at around 6 a.m. 5:30, 6 a.m. And some have that on its own and then go on the rest of the day. Others only have a morning service, which can be anything from 10, 11 o'clock. The one I'll be attending in Riddles Creek this year is at 11 a.m.
Yes.
Which suits me. We can have a sleep in for a night. Normally I'm involved with the dawn service here in Healesville, but having done it for 10 years as MC, I'm quite pleased to be handing over the reins and having a bit of a break. It's given us an opportunity. We have a family function Sunbury on Sunday, which is an all-day job, so we decided we'd make a bit of a day of it, a weekend of it, and we're heading off tomorrow.
Fantastic.
Morning and coming back on Wednesday, so having a nice break.
Wonderful. Safe travels, Bob. And listeners, we're going to come back and wrap up just a couple of things that we haven't covered yet around Anzac Day. And
lest we forget.
We're talking Anzac Day, obviously, with Anzac Day being Monday the 25th of April. My guest is Bob Gannaway. And Bob, we're encouraging people this year to get out. It's going to be a beautiful day on Monday, and people can come and participate in the dawn service or one of the other services.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We encourage everybody to get out. It's going to be the first opportunity for 2 years, so we are anticipating good-sized crowds, and we hope that people live up to that because it's the first opportunity, as I said, for 3 years, really, to be able to get out and commemorate.
Yes, and there will be marches, both at the, well, in Melbourne, at the Shrine, of course, but here in Healesville in the main street.
Yes, we're back to normal. If you remember what we did 3 years ago, or 4 years ago, we're back to that. We're just treating it as a normal Anzac Day, so there'll be a full-on march. We're keeping our fingers crossed that the weather will be fine for a fly past of a couple
that would
of
be fly, terrific.
Tiger Moth aircraft over the top. And they were the primary trainer back in the 30s and 40s. So we really are looking forward to that to the day. So I mentioned earlier, I've taken a day off this year with my wife and I going away for the weekend, but living in very capable hands.
The President-elect, Colette Shaw, if you're listening, Colette, wonderful. We'll look forward to your leadership on Monday. It'll be absolutely fantastic. And, to any RSL members and friends who are listening this morning, yes, such an important date. Perhaps the most important date on the Australian commemorative calendar. And Bob, we've talked about mateship, we've talked about loyalty, we've talked about leadership, and, well, we haven't covered the evils of war, we're not going to go there today, but in terms of looking after our veterans, looking after those who have served, do we do enough in Australia?
I don't think we can ever do enough. There's no such thing as enough. We have to do as much as we possibly can. I think that's what it comes down to.
Yes.
We don't have a bad setup in Australia compared to some of the overseas countries. I think we do better than the United States in terms of looking after our seniors in general.
Yes.
They can always do more. It's heartening to see that there are, the sentiment is in the community. And if the politicians cherish their seats, they better listen to the community.
Yes, the Anzac sentiment seems to be, in my eyes anyway, as strong or stronger than ever, Bob.
It is. And I think we'll see that on Monday. I'm looking forward to seeing the march and service on the other side of town. And I've got no doubt there'll be a big crowd there too.
Yes. Yeah, that's terrific. It's not a long service for those of you who haven't been to an Anzac Day service before or a dawn service. It's quite a reflective sort of time, Bob, to stand with others, isn't it?
It can be very moving. It goes for about half an hour. Yeah. The same with the main service. We keep it to about half an hour. We don't want people don't want to be standing around for too long, and we don't want members of the Catapult Party, which in our case this year will be the Hillsville Scouts, and they're not used to standing around for any length of time. We don't want them falling over. So we've given them a few tips. In fact, my wife Kat's meeting up with them this morning at the RSL Memorial to run them through. She would have done that. Well, probably still doing it, actually.
Terrific.
Running through what needs to be done, warning them what to do, how to wriggle your toes so you don't fall over.
Making sure all the little tricks.
And the main thing is to have a good breakfast before you go down, especially before the dawn service. Too often we see these young not so young. I've seen some older, late teens and early 20s keel over because they haven't had anything to eat before they've gone. And they haven't wriggled their toes to keep their blood circulating.
Oh dear!
And the next thing you know, they're flat on their back.
Yes.
Which is why we had the John ambulance on hand in case we need to be there. So that can happen to anybody in the crowd, especially if they've been marching and they stop at the front of the Memorial Hall, and they're there for about half an hour. So
right.
They do have to make sure they keep the blood circulating.
And of course, mentioning breakfast, Bob, we'll just give another plug for the following the dawn service at Hillsville RSL. There is a traditional gunfire breakfast, gold coin donation. Welcome. What's a traditional gunfire breakfast, Bob?
There are scrambled eggs is the main part of it. Scrambled eggs, there'll be scrambled eggs and bacon is the main part of it, and toast.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure what the chef's got planned here. There's a few other bits and pieces in there as well. Yeah, that's the tradition. That's the core of it. And people are welcome to come through for a gold coin donation, which goes to the welfare fund, which assists the veterans.
Fantastic.
So that's what we're there, vets and their families in most cases now.
We are out of time, listeners. Bob, can I just say on behalf of all of our listeners this morning, thank you, a huge thank you for making Anzac Day real for us again this year. It's been terrific having a conversation with you.
It's been great to be here, Bruce, and my voice isn't what it was, so I'm a bit croaky, but I hope everybody's heard me clearly enough.
Absolutely, Bob, and just thank you so much, and enjoy your well-deserved days away, and we look forward to commemorating Anzac Day